This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On San Geek Radio 95.1 FM 1460 AM and Aliento Radio 101.7 FM and 1540 AM. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Ruby Munoz Dang. You know, Gilbert's feeling a little under the weather today, but as you know, the show must go on. So I'm thrilled to be here today. And with me, I have my guest today is Stephanie Roberts. Stephanie is a partner here at Garcia Hamilton and has been a partner and a friend of mine for over 20 years now, right, Stephanie?
Yes.
And, you know, we've seen it all. So we're thrilled that Gilbert has given us the honor to host the call today. And we look forward to talking about many things. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. As you know, it's right around the corner. I can't believe that it's already this Thursday. And I know Stephanie and I have been talking about Thanksgiving. You know, one thing about it, Stephanie, I don't know if I mentioned to you that, during the freeze, a lot of my appliances got out of commission, and one was my stove, right? And we've been postponing getting a new stove, and you know, it's been kind of torture along the way, but you know what, it's become a surprise for Thanksgiving, because now I'm on drinks and paper products since I have no stove. So looking forward to that. And I know you know, Stephanie and I are not really a big kitchen cook people, but I know she's also got an interesting story about how she's going to be celebrating Thanksgiving today, this week as well, right, Steph?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you, Ruby, for having me here today. I'm just thrilled to be a guest. But yeah, my Thanksgiving is going to be a little bit different this year. I usually celebrate with cousins here, and my sister and her kids come. And I'm usually either paper, ice, sometimes dessert.
I know that.
But we had an unfortunate incident earlier, about 3 weeks ago. My cousin had to have emergency surgery.
Oh, no.
And he's fine now, but he's recuperating. Yes, but a part of that was Thanksgiving shifting to my responsibility at my house. So in the last couple of weeks, I had to put a menu together. I had to make assignments. So I called my good friend Luby's.
So Luby's is always ready.
The turkey, the dressing, some of the sides from Luby's, and they do a great job. I've done it in the past. I love, love, love Luby's. And we're going to do the honey baked ham, which I picked up yesterday. And I made the assignment. So we're just really looking forward. We're thankful that my cousin is in recovery. He's going to be able to attend, and we're going to have about 12 people. So I'm really excited about it.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, Thanksgiving is, you know, it's a time for us to gather together, our family, our friends, be thankful. And with that, I'd love to have the pastor come on and give us an opening prayer. Ms. Producer, can you pass through the pastor to open us up with prayer? Well, as we're waiting, Thanksgiving, the traditional Thanksgiving definition has changed, right?
Exactly.
The great thing is that that your family will be there with you to celebrate, and that your cousin continues to recover.
Yes, I'm very thankful for that. Always excited. I'm actually originally from Midland, Texas. And so my family comes here for Thanksgiving, and then I go home from Midland. So that's another thing that I'm really thankful for, is to have
family's important. Yeah. And Pastor Russell, do we have you on the line?
Yes, you do.
Hi, Pastor. I know you were expecting Gilbert Garcia, but now today you have Ruby Munoz Dang and Stephanie Roberts. I think That's even a better way of starting the week.
Pastor,
absolutely. Well, absolutely.
It's so great to have you on the show today. You know, we were just talking about Thanksgiving and how we are also thankful for so many things, and we are just so thrilled to have you on the show today, and would welcome an opening prayer.
Oh, thank you. In the spirit that the 10 lepers got healed and only one came back, I just want to take this time to be the one to be grateful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for just another day of living and having an assignment. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus, and we come to you and recognize today that you are our God, we are your people. And God, you are our shepherd, and we want for nothing. And we recognize today that we are thankful. So we ask for mercy and grace. And God, we thank you for the grace for space to be able to extend assignments, to reach the unreachable and tell the untold about our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for being good. Thank you for breath. Thank you, God, for Psalms 138. That you will perfect those things that concern us. And so, God, we lay everything at your feet and at your promises. So we walk by faith and not by sight. And we thank you in Jesus' name for this radio station, for this encouragement, for the blessings. So, God, we release your word and authority, Genesis 12:2, that you'll bless us, make our name great, that we can be a blessing to the world. In Jesus' name, as we ask for forgiveness and mercy and grace, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. You know, I think sometimes we get caught up in the busyness of life, including Thanksgiving. As we started off this show, Stephanie and I were talking about how we're preparing for Thanksgiving. But you know what? It comes down to what you said. You know, the more important thing is our health, our belief in the Lord to guide us and to be grateful for every day. So thank you for bringing it back home and reminding us of the most important things.
And I thank you for this opportunity. And I just want to encourage everybody that's listening all over the world is that as we're giving, give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. Vertically give thanks to God. And he'll bless you. He sees us and he's fighting for us. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Reverend, Pastor Russell. That's so true, Stephanie. I think sometimes we forget the importance of giving back and what we're grateful for, right? And we've got to remember others, right? Exactly. We're very fortunate. You know, Stephanie and I have been here at Garcia Hamilton I'm going on 30 years and Stephanie's
going on 24.
24 years. Yes, so yes. We've been able to together work with Gilbert and trying to build our firm, which we're so proud of. And you know, we do owe a lot of thanks to Gilbert because being women and people of color in the financial industry is not easy.
Exactly.
And we've had the opportunity. We both knew that we had the talent to do this, but we just never had the opportunity. And it took someone with vision like Gilbert to say, you're worthy to come up to the plate. And, you know, for that, we're always grateful. So for that, I'm thankful for that as well.
Exactly. Just so thankful. You know, Ruby and I started our client service team back in 2008. And at that time, it was a team of two. And we've grown our team to a team of 16. Everybody's rowing in the same direction. Everybody's very helpful of each other. And it's just been a great blessing just to see the team grow and also to see the firm grow. You know, when Gilbert started back in 2002, we had $200 million in assets under management of fixed income. And we've grown the firm to over $21 billion. So, you know, just taking in that number is very humbling to know, like Ruby said, that he gave us the opportunity. He gave us the opportunity. He saw, he had a vision, and he saw in us sometimes more than we saw in ourselves. So just really grateful for all the success of the firm and the team that we built.
Exactly. And folks, feel free to reach out. I think we've got a couple of calls already. Michael, are you on the line? Michael? Just bear with us, audience. We're just trying to connect to our caller. Michael, are you on the line? It's exciting, you know, that Stephanie and I, you know, we didn't realize this morning we were going to be able to be hosting this wonderful show. And we're thrilled to be on today and with so much to talk about, whether it's about being thankful for everything and getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. Also, you know, we want to encourage women and people of color that to think broadly, right, you know, the financial industry, to think, consider that as a career. And we're here to be used as resources. And then, you know, also our experience in participating in a Houston mayoral race. We'd love to talk about that as well. But I think have another caller, Dominic. Dominic, it's Ruby and Stephanie. You're on the line.
Yes, Ruby. There's one thing I suggested to Gil. I'm going to put it on the air now. You're talking about finances. I think Gilbert said when he realized he wasn't going to win, that he was going to put pressure on City Hall to get rid of this pay-to-play thing. And I made a suggestion we have a group of citizens, and maybe he can start. I'll help him. Called Paybusters. And I think the thing is, we need to stay on these, the mayor, the comptroller, and the council members about pay to play. I mean, I think the whole thing needs to be looked at. I'm afraid now, as far as the new council seats are concerned, I think those who are going to be at the present time untouchable. They are going to be new people or old people we can trust. But as far as the mayor's thing goes, we're going to have to keep an eyeball on it. And I want to volunteer with Gil to form a Paybusters or whatever he wants to call it group to get this pay-to-play combo out of City Hall. With that, I have no other comments.
Well, thanks for calling in, Dominic. You know, transparency is so important, you know, and that's something that Gilbert instilled here in the firm and how we do things and extending it to the city, I think is a great idea. I mean, this is our city. This is our home. We should demand transparency to try and make it better. So
he did it, Metro.
Yes, we did. Yeah, he did a great job at Metro. As you know, Dominic, Metro runs in your blood. It runs in ours, starting with Gilbert. And so I know, you know, sometimes you need to peel back the onion to try and make change to move forward. And I know that he is up to that task. We're up to that task. So thank you again for all your input, Dominic. We'll definitely share it with Gilbert and we'll see how we move forward.
Okay. And have a happy turkey week.
Thank you, Dominic. You too.
See y'all later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Dominic.
I just wanted to remind everyone, you know, we were all at the watch party, and Gilbert made the announcement that he's just getting started. You know, just because the election is over doesn't mean anything. You know, we're still going to fight for what's right. We're still going to make sure that those issues are at the forefront of the new mayor's agenda. Because we're not finished. We're going to continue to hold everyone accountable.
Exactly. I mean, because what's wrong with transparency, right?
Exactly.
I mean, in order to fix something, you have to look at kind of where you're at, right? And then you realize, okay, well, how can we make it better? And you know, this is my home, Stephanie. This is your home, our kids' future. And it's important to get involved. You know, one of the disappointments. Well, first, it was an exciting opportunity. I've never had the opportunity to work on a mayoral race. And so it was incredible. I learned a lot. But, you know, one thing that disappointed me was the outcome. You know, it was such a low outcome for a local election. These are so important. So, you know, I am committing to try to make that change, to try and educate folks and make sure they know, because I think people feel like, well, why does it matter? My vote doesn't matter. But exactly. You and I know, especially now that we got involved in it, that our vote matters. So
every vote counts.
And so we got to do our part to make sure people realize that. And hopefully the next time around, we'll have a better outcome. But I think our producer has someone else on the line. I think we've got a Morgan on the line. Morgan, are you there? And welcome to A Tip from Gilbert. Talk inspiration and prayer.
Hi, Ruby. How are you?
Hey, Morgan. I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm good. I love hearing about everyone's Thanksgiving traditions. I think it's so fun to hear what everybody does. But I actually, my brother is flying in all the way from Scotland, and every year we make ribs for Thanksgiving as a nice Texas welcome. So I think it's fun to hear all the fun different things that everybody does for Thanksgiving.
How wonderful to have your brother in town. Oh, I bet that's going to be a great Thanksgiving. And so, you know, there's all these different types of methods to cook ribs. So I always hear dry rubs or so. What's your secret if you're willing to share that, Morgan?
Oh, I would not even pretend like I have anything to do with it. But my uncle was the original rib maker. He does a nice dry rub. And now my brother, the one coming from Scotland, likes to rival his rib. So Uh-oh. He does more of a saucy rib. And it's fun to compare. And they have a little good-natured fight about it. And it's a lot of fun. But it's just with everything going on in the world right now, it's so nice to have family and the ability to bring family together from different parts of the world. So we're very excited.
I'm sure he's looking forward to coming home as well.
Oh, yeah. I think the food's a little better over here than it is.
I think you're right.
We've been learning about some new foods.
I don't know if you heard at the onset of the call here. I had trouble with my stove. It goes back to the freeze. I lost a lot of my appliances, and the last appliance I was replacing was the stove. So my background, my kiddos are off to college. So I'm an empty nester. So it's just me and my husband. And I thought, why cook? Right. And now here we are at Thanksgiving. And so, we had the call about what you're going to cook because my husband's a great cook. Right. So I had to share with everyone, well, I have no stove. So I am now on drinks and paper products, and I couldn't be happier.
There you go. You can always support local businesses and make somebody else make it work.
Well, that's what Stephanie's doing. She also got tasked with, the two folks who don't cook got tasked with some responsibilities for Thanksgiving. So Stephanie's taking the route of reaching out to the community, as we all know it as Lubies, to be doing her Thanksgiving. And I've got, my contribution this year will be drinks. And you know what? I'll just get an assortment of drinks, that's where I'll show my talent and paper products. So we'll have to check in later, Morgan, and we'll have to share war stories about our Thanksgiving dinners.
Well, I can't wait. Happy Thanksgiving to you both. And thank you for the show today.
Thanks for calling in, Morgan, and happy Thanksgiving.
Morgan. Happy Thanksgiving.
It's interesting, right, Stephanie, over time, how things change. And I was always expecting that when my kids were coming back, that we would have like a really big lunch, dinner. But, they're kind of in a different world right now where, they are young adults and they have so much to do. I'm like, how could your agenda or your calendar be full? I mean, it's just incredible stuff. I was like, I have to, put myself down for an appointment to meet with them.
You have to get on the calendar.
I got to get on the calendar.
That's too funny. Well, talking about transparency, my family knows. They know that they're going to be eating Lubies. They're just as excited as I am. So they know that. They know about the honey baked ham. And they're just as excited because, again, Lubies does a great job.
Yes, they do. Now, I think we may have another caller. We've got Roger Morales on the line. Roger, are you there?
Well, it's close. It's close. It's actually Roy Morales.
Oh, Roy Morales. I'm so sorry, Mr. Morales. and I was thinking, well, maybe is that Roy Morales? But I apologize for that, Mr. Morales. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. I hear that Gilbert's a little bit under the weather today.
Yes. Everyone's been getting that crud, and we had a couple of folks here at the office. So, I don't know, Ms. Morales, if you've been to our office, but we sit on an open trading floor. And once you hear one sneeze, forget it. It starts going around.
Oh, yeah. I've been there a few times. Yeah, I can see, close quarters there. But I hope everybody's getting ready for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
May get a little rain, but it's time to give thanks and help those that need a little help during the holiday season.
Yes, and Mr. Morales, what's your background again? I mean, you're politically involved, right? And I apologize for not knowing it, but I just heard the name in the past.
Right. Well, I've traveled with Gilbert to a lot of these political forums. I am running in the runoff for at-large four. And in fact, I am the top Latino candidate with the most votes in the city of Houston on election day.
Oh, wow.
About 65,000.
I'm so happy to hear that.
So this is all about our community. You know, I got a lot of friends out there, and they're conservative. They're Hispanic. And they know it's time that we take a seat at the table. Unfortunately, over the past week, we've had some, I would say, very close to slanderous statements by the Chronicle about me, trying to hijack the issues that I have, which were like Gilbert's. It was about, fighting crime, fixing our streets, lowering your water bills, and just making sure our garbage gets picked up. You know, we're all entitled to that. And now they want to take an approach that I'm what they put in the paper the other day that was anti-migrant. And I don't know where they came up with that.
That's terrible, Mr. Morales. I can't believe that. That's terrible.
Well, you know, I've been a LULAC member since 2005. Mm-hmm. I've helped the community in all kinds of ways, even as a Harris County School trustee. You know, when some of these organizations needed a place to host their Christmas events and they needed gifts, they needed food, I was there for them. When they tried to shut down the Harris County Department of Education that focused on the Head Start program, I wrote a LULAC resolution with Johnny Monta that went all the way to national, saying that this would help, would actually hurt about 12,000 Hispanic children. And I have this writer that's come on board in about a month from the Chronicle, doesn't know our community, doesn't know me, don't know what we've done. And we've got to stick together in the Hispanic community because we are disrespected. And we don't have a seat at the table. And it's about time with a population of about 45% Hispanic in the city of Houston, we need a little attention. And we can do some great things for the city, and migrants have done great things for the city. Let's actually put it on the table. They have. I just want to make sure that if they're committing serious crimes, heinous crimes against our community, let's just make sure we know who they are. Let them have a fair trial. If they're found guilty, then they serve their time here in Texas. And then at that point, we hand them over to the federal government to send them back to their country. And we're not committing the crimes. They're committing the crimes against our own community. That's all I ask for, is just some fairness. But I want to be very clear, and I stated this in the Chronicle, but everybody continues to kind of like not see it. If it's going to profile, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And I've been profiled. I don't like it. I've been thrown out of restaurants because of the color of my skin. We just don't need that in our community anymore. In today's world, we're all together. No. So I just wanted to pass that on.
Well, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention, because you're so right. This is the melting pot. And I'm proud to say I'm a Mexican American. You know, I'm always grateful to my parents who had the courage to leave a country where they and come to where they didn't speak the language, didn't know anyone. Why? For the future of their kids. And I'm proud to say, I hope I made them proud. It's up to us to use our voice and our vote. And that's something Mr. Morales, my partner here, Stephanie Roberts, were talking about. It's like, how can we encourage our community to vote? I feel sometimes like they think that their vote doesn't matter. And you're so right that what's wrong with bringing transparency? What's wrong with bringing these issues? This is our city. And I'm so embarrassed and ashamed that the Chronicle is putting such a bad light on you, because that's not true. You know, you have done so much to our community. I grew up on the southeast side of town. I attended DD High, Junior High. I attended Milby High School. I went to the University of Houston. And everywhere I look, to the left, to the right, I see people that resemble me, and they have contributed so much to this city. And so what we have to do, Mr. Morales, is we have to figure out how to get our community more involved.
I agree. I absolutely agree. But at the same time, we've got to ensure that article out of the Chronicle doesn't fracture our support. And that's what I see right now, when we can actually have an at-large council member in the city of Houston, and that can be sworn in on 2024, when our last one was Orlando Sanchez, mm-hmm. actually over 20 years ago.
Wow.
And I'm just tired. And I've talked to others that we actually have an apartheid system here, where the majority is ruled by minority, and
right.
we can put a stop to it on December 9th. We actually can. We just got to come out and vote, and everybody's going to understand their vote matters.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Well, know that we're doing our part, Ms. Morales. We're making sure folks are out there and recognizing that their vote matters, and we're doing that. So, you know, we're hoping that we make a difference. We've got, you know, it's one vote at a time, one step at a time. And that's why my partner here, Stephanie Roberts, and I are thrilled that Gilbert gave us the opportunity to kind of see behind the scenes of how things work. And then at that point, we're even more angry, right?
Exactly.
And more, we've got that fire in us now to try that we're going to do more. And so I hope we stay connected. Please continue to call into the show. We've got to use our voice to make sure that people understand, you know, what you've done and how we can make sure that you are going to move forward and win this election.
Oh, I appreciate it, because if I move forward, the community moves forward.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
So let's repeat that date again.
Yeah. What is that date?
Get this. It's right around the corner. Early vote starts next Monday.
Wow.
Okay. Let me repeat that. Next Monday, right after Thanksgiving, November 27th, it goes through December 5th. It's a little shorter period. And then Election Day is on a Saturday, December 9th.
Wow. Great. Well, we need to make sure to get people out, because I didn't realize that, gosh,
next Monday.
It's already starting next Monday. Man. Wow. Well, thank you again. And you know, let's repeat those dates again. I think it's important.
November 27th, November 27th, next Monday, it starts.
Okay.
It will go through December 5th. And the election day is on a Saturday, December 9th.
And Mr. Morales, is it the same as before, where you can go to any poll?
That's correct. It's you can go to any early vote site. You can go to any precinct site on election day.
And is it still the 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or are there different hours?
That's correct.
Okay.
No.
Good.
Yep.
Good. Good. Well, thank you so much for calling in and for giving us those dates. And, you know, please continue to call in to the radio show. We want to make sure to, you know, because as you know, Ms. Morales, it was a very low turnout. And now for the runoff, I don't know if normally the runoff is even a less of a turnout, or how we can encourage people to make sure to go out and vote.
Well, it's usually few voters come out. It's much less. But we'll keep trying to get everybody out.
Well, no, Stephanie
election.
And I will be there, so
now we know.
Okay,
we're
going
to go out Monday. Thank
right.
you again, Mr. Morales, right. and have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday.
Okay, I plan on it. Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You. Yeah, you know, I remember, Stephanie, you know, growing up, the neighborhood, you know, it's as Ms. Morales said, you know, we contribute mm-hmm. to the city, right? And we all just want the same, you know, we want health. We want to be able to have, to support our families. And
and we need to put people in office who understand and recognize
and represent.
That everybody wants to be represented.
Exactly. Exactly. Now I think, Ms. Producer has,
David Contreras.
Mr. Contreras, David, are you on the line? It's Ruby Dang and Stephanie Roberts with a tip from Gilbert, talk inspiration and prayer.
Hi, Ruby and Stephanie, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Wonderful. Well, what's on your mind today?
Oh, I'm calling to remind the community that tomorrow is the 60th anniversary of John F. Kennedy's visit with LULAC. And in Houston, Texas, at the Rice Hotel, it occurred on November the 21st in 1963. And as the LULAC member of Council 688, and being the National LULAC Historian, this is a very important event for us because this was the first time in recorded history that a sitting U.S. president addressed a Latino group. And it is considered to be one of LULAC's most significant milestones. And not only did he attend the event, but his wife, Jackie, spoke to the audience in Spanish. The event was by Vice President and soon to be John or Johnson, Lyndon B. Johnson, Lady Bird Johnson, Texas Governor John Conley, and several dignitaries. Unfortunately, the next day, President Kennedy traveled to Dallas and he was assassinated.
Wow. I did not know that. Oh, wow. Thank you so much for reminding us. So, there's going to, you know, I'm a proud LULAC member as well. And, you know, we've all been involved, several colleagues here at Garcia Hamilton, as you know, we're the largest Hispanic bond firm. And, you know, we're proud to be LULAC members. But I guess I forgot that that happened. And I can't believe it's been 60 years. So the event. Can you give us a little more detail again about the event? What's happening? I think you mentioned it's going to be tomorrow. Is it going to be at the same hotel that took place 60 years ago?
No. As a matter of fact, there was actually an exhibit at the Heritage Society, the 1100 block of Bagley. And it is an incredible exhibit that's curated by Mika Eliselli, who was the former... she was a former librarian at the Houston Public Library for Mexican American Collections. And she is now a consultant and she works for Arte Publico Press part-time, but she created this incredible exhibit of John Kennedy's visit with LULAC in 1963. There's all kinds of photos, historical documents, and I urge the public to go and visit that exhibit. Now, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, the Heritage Society, in conjunction with LULAC Council 60, is having an event to commemorate the 60th anniversary. And our national president, Domingo Garcia, is going to be there and make a presentation. There'll be four or five other presentations. And I will be there as the National LULAC Historian to say a few words about my family's involvement in LULAC that goes back to 1935.
Well, I didn't realize that that exhibit was going on. So are you saying that we could just go visit that exhibit now? I mean, we're in downtown. We're right down the street. Right, I'm embarrassed to say I didn't know that. And it sounds like a wonderful exhibit. I want to go check it out.
Oh, yes, please do. There's one piece there that must be about 8 foot tall by about 10 foot. And it's a beautiful photo of John F. Kennedy, Jackie Kennedy, and a fellow who was instrumental in getting him here. His name was John J. Herrera. He was a past national president of LULAC. He was an icon during the Mexican-American Civil Rights Movement here in Houston. And, there are many photos of him along with some historical documents at that museum. I encourage everyone to go. It is a $5 fee to tour the exhibit, but tomorrow it's free to the public.
Well, if I can ask you, if you don't, if you happen to have the address and the details of both events, that would be great if I could, then we could share it with all our viewers, because I had no clue that that exhibition was there. And, you know, I've worked with Johnny and Isidro and with LULAC, and they're amazing folks who have done so much. And I want to make sure that that everyone knows that this exhibit is out there. How long is it going to be there? I know you said it was on Bagby. If you can repeat the address and then the event for tomorrow, that it's open to the public. How incredible is that? And is there a website or something that we can go on that where we have to make an RSVP, or can we just show up? And if, again, if I can ask you, if you can repeat that address as well and the details.
Yes, I'm going to give you some information. I'm gonna do a search right now, but there is a website that you can go to that has incredible history of this visit. It is called jfklulac.com, and this website is actually sponsored by Gilbert and Dee Dee Garcia.
Oh, how wonderful!
And the website has 100 photos of the event from 1963. There is a section there, page 2, has 3 videos, incredible, remarkable videos. 2 of them are from 1963. One of them is a black and white video that has their speeches. Another video is in color, just incredibly beautiful, that has no sound. And then there's a third video from 10 years ago where we had the 50th anniversary commemoration, where we have people that had actually attended the event 50 years earlier, made some very poignant and dramatic comments about their experience and their feelings at that event.
Well, I know I'm going to go to that website, and hopefully we're going to be able to go to the exhibition and then hopefully attend that event. And it's incredible because, you know, I've seen a lot of things on TV, Netflix, that they have all these documentaries. And I guess maybe I just forgot. I didn't put 2 and 2 together that you know, we're going on 60 years of that tragedy that took place in Dallas. And but you know what, Mr. Contreras, I did not realize that he had visited Houston the day before. So I'm glad we're focusing on that and all the great things he did, as well as bring, you know, bring conversations to the Hispanic community, to welcome us, to listen to us, because our voice does matter.
Yep. And as the national historian, this event from 1963, well, I have to say that 10 years ago is what sparked our passion to begin looking for history, finding historical documents and photos and videos, and to digitize this information. And so we have an incredible collection that we have for LULAC. As a matter of fact, my grandchild, Maya, who's the fifth generation of the LULAC legacy in our family, created a 1-minute video to commemorate the 60th anniversary of John Kennedy's visit.
You know, you kind of reminded me of something, you know, because again, many of us have had the opportunity to live here in the States, and we kind of forget about our background. And one thing we did, and I encourage everyone to do this, is we had conversations with some of our relatives. You know, I had the opportunity to speak to some of my aunts, and I had a cousin who actually took notes and recorded, you know, my heritage. Again, my family's from Nuevo Laredo, Mexico. And, you know, we found out so much about our culture and our history. And you know what, how we did that, Mr. Contreras, was just asking about how their childhood was, you know, some of the challenges and some of the, you know, the beautiful things that experienced in their lifetime. And we learned so much. I think we should all, as we're heading into the Thanksgiving holiday, one, be thankful for what we have, but also to be thankful for those who came before us and set a path that gave us, including myself, you know, a wonderful future. And you learn so much by just asking the question, you know, what was it like when you were a child? So I want to challenge everyone to ask those questions as you're sitting around the table during Thanksgiving, you know, again, being thankful, but why not ask, well, you know, Walita, Tia, tell me about how it was when you were a child, and to soak all that in.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely.
Well, I hope to see you tomorrow. Now that we know it's on the calendar, we hope to be there to be able to celebrate with everyone.
All righty. Thank you for the opportunity to share this information. And please, if you have a chance, go to jfklulak.com. And I think you'll be pleased with what you see.
Oh, we're going to do that right after the show. Thank you so much for letting us know. And have a happy Thanksgiving.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Well, that was goodbye. You know, interesting because, Stephanie, we actually did that, you know, my cousins and I, because, you know, my grandmother lived to be 100 years old, right?
Wow.
And many of my aunts lived to be in their 90.
Yeah.
You know, as they got older, you know, they would share stories, like tidbits, right? But we never really knew the history. So I'm thrilled that my cousin, giving her a shout out, Julie Guajardo, she took the time to actually interview my aunts, mm-hmm. took notes, and actually put a little book together for our family. And it just popped in my head as we were having this conversation.
Yeah.
I want to share it with my kids because,
exactly.
you know, we learn so much, right? You learn not to make the same mistakes. Mm-hmm. You learn from growth. And then you learn to appreciate. Because I think sometimes we forget,
yes.
and we don't give thanks for those that have set the ways for us. So,
well, my eyes have been opened by what Mr. Contreras shared. I had no idea. And it just kind of goes back to, you know, the history that we see on the television, the documentaries. There's so much more to the story.
Right.
And just knowing that JFK actually met with LULAC. You know, you hear about all the work that he did with Martin Luther King and the NAACP. Mm-hmm. But I think this is the very first time I've heard about
Me
the work
too.
That he did with
so
LULAC.
I'm glad he brought it to our attention.
So thankful for that new information. And we're going to go to the website and learn as much as we can and try to attend that event tomorrow.
Well, I think we have one more caller. Linda? Well, we've got actually a couple of callers, but we've got Linda on the line. Hi, Linda. It's Ruby Munoz-Tang and Stephanie Roberts, and you're on with A Tip from Gilbert, Talk, Inspiration, and Prayer. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. I'm not down over the election. I am a little disappointed, but I'm not surprised because I haven't just started working on campaigns and with people and trying to get out the votes. I want to say this before, so that we understand when you're talking about making people accountable, and it's reverberated on all the Black stations, all the Hispanic stations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I come from New York City, so you know, I guess it would be, Puerto Ricans is a whole different thing they in New York. So I don't know how they've changed now. I've been here over 40 years. But one thing we've got to do is we have to know what they are accountable for.
Mm-hmm.
99% of the people, you're going there with platitudes, you're going there with jingle phrases, you're telling them about how people died. I watched Dr. Henry Louis Gates go back with a Hispanic actress and track all the way back her lineage back to some uncle, great, 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 great. He just ran out of greats, uncle in Spain, okay? I got my grandmother and my uncle, my great uncle together and asked them to tell me what they felt. And they went to arguing. Thank heavens for your aunt. She got your girlfriend speaking to your aunts, because mine sat there and argued all the time. What we've got to do is learn. They've taken civics out. You've got people talking about, well, so-and-so didn't do this, and Sheila Jackson Lee didn't come with this to us, and what didn't happen with that? We have to know what that person was elected for and the powers that that person has who has been elected. Then how does his money trickle, his or her money trickle down? Does it go when the federal grants come in? Do they go to the state and it gets hung up in Austin like it did under under Governor Abbott with Bush? On the general land office, and people that didn't spill a cup of water in their house got their whole houses redone. And we in the barrio and in the ghetto, we were swimming out of here and we didn't get anything done, couldn't prove anything. They gave us paper after paper, 32 page application after 32 page application. What we must know is what the job entails. What are you responsible for? Not bringing me a plat of water, costs $3. Get up and go buy yourself one. That's what I had to tell people in my neighborhood. That's not a reason for you not to vote. You need to vote because you need to know what it is that person can do, not only, and the dynamics of the thing, not only what it does for you in your community, but how it's going to benefit, because it's a pool of money, all of us. You can't tell me that you're going to not give people jobs and you can put a police officer who does not even live in the city of Houston on the street corner or in an air-conditioned car and expect crime to reduce. It's not going to happen.
That's it's just so
not
true.
Gonna happen.
Yeah, I think
you can't tell me that you're pushing these kids out of school. You're making it different. In the 80s, when I got here in 1980, it was at the tail end because people didn't have to finish high school. What did you have? You had an oil boom. And so what did they do? They told them you can go to this company and finish high school. What did they say to Hispanics here? I think 1983 is when bilingual education comes in Texas. If you're not born in this country, you speak Spanish, this is no place for you. They were not given the right for education. These are the things that we have to know, what their laws are, what the, how you're segregating it, how this is against the state, against the U.S. Constitution, what it is that we have to do. Don't tell me about how I'm going to go and on one little item make somebody accountable. What is it that they are accountable for on the whole? And let's look down the list, because it is a ginormous job. It is something that, and that brother, I don't know whether it's a woman, man or a woman, Sam Kelly Gonzalez, who writes those things on the school district and what this superintendent, who has every kind of background, don't say he's against Hispanics. He even got Hispanic. He got Asian. He's everything, okay? And he's doing nothing but ruining our kids and taking out public education. What I want us to do is we put back civics so our children know what that vote means, what they're voting for, why that local vote is just as important as the one for the country. And what the Harris County, it's not going to happen. We've got people coming in. The girl came in from Georgia. She ran on a ticket on the school board, not for the school board of Houston Independent School District, but the one for Harris County. She runs in from Georgia, mind you. This is not the halcyon of education. She runs and says she's going to increase teacher salary. Well, the only thing you get to do in the Harris County Education Board is to look at curriculum. And we sure have a reason. Listen to what you're saying. Every time I want to see Hispanics, look at how they took out that textbook. We're the largest purchasers of textbooks. But Hispanic people took out that textbook because it did not portray Hispanics properly, nor did it do. It said Black people were actually indentured servants.
I love your passion, Miss Linda. I mean, because all these things are so important. And I think it goes back to what Gilbert was saying when he was running. Transparency, transparency, transparency. We need to see.
But if you're transparent and the kids don't know, see, they got us on, if you're transparent and you don't know what you're transparent over what you're we're running over this little one thing and that little one thing, and it's not going to work. I love Gilbert, love him to death. He was the one he's not even a politician when I sent my stuff from,
that he was the right choice, right?
I prefer somebody that knows their way around the block. Now, you're not going to just go into a den of people that are do-gooders. And Gilbert has got a wonderful smile. He's a great person. I think it's wonderful. But I'm not going to take him. I'm going to take the white guy that was running and said he had no one owes him favors. Well, you're not going to go long in politics.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your calling in and the passion, and we need to, Stephanie and I have had the opportunity to work with Gilbert for the past 20 plus years, and we saw what he's done, right? And so, we're, like we said, it
certainly
ain't over.
And I think it's fantastic. And what our youngsters, as he incorporated more, why are we in a runoff? Because I think they gave me the figure at the NAACP meeting that less than 10% of eligible Black voters and Hispanic voters went to the polls.
Yep, there you go. Yeah. That's what we've been talking about, Ms. Linda. It's like, what can we do? But I know it's a topic everyone's always tried to find a solution for, but we're not going to give up. We've got to keep working.
I have a solution. The solution is tell them what the person runs for, tell them what it is, tell them what is expected of them, and then you get more people involved. If the only thing I'm going to do is try and be mayor, and I have no idea on how to run a city, it won't. Anyway, you got unions. I'm sorry, but you gotta tell these kids. They have to be able to see in. These kids are. I've taught high school and taught at Hispanic high schools and Black high schools.
You know, I remember being a student, Miss Linda, and that was a long time ago, right? But I remember the school actually brought in a voting machine. We had mock elections. Like, they were actually making sure that folks knew what to do. You registered to get your voter registration card. There's just been so many changes. But I think this is a conversation we're going to keep having. And we just thank you so much for your call and your passion.
Thank you so much, Ruby.
Wishing you a happy Thanksgiving. And let's continue the conversation.
Okie dokie, working on it. Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Linda.
The key to what Ms. Linda was talking about is that, we need to get back to just making sure that everyone is prepared to be a good citizen.
Exactly, right.
And being a part of the election process is part of that.
Because I do remember, Stephanie, I remember in high school, they would bring a voting machine in and they taught you, how to do it and help you figure out about registering to be a voter. And, things have just changed. Maybe we just got to bring it back to basics, but
get back to that. And again, Election Day, early voting is from November 27th to December 5th. And Election Day is December 9th.
So let's get out
those dates
down. I think we have time for one more caller. Connie, are you on the line?
Yes. Hi, Ruby.
Hi, Connie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Welcome to A Tip from Gilbert. Talk inspiration and prayer. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You guys are killing it out there. You're a great substitute for Gilbert. And you bring the energy.
Thank you, Connie. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, I was calling because I wanted to talk to you guys more about, the kind of work that you do at Garcia Hamilton. I mean, I'm in finance as well, and it just seems like you guys have your stuff together. You have a lot of knowledge. You're leaders in the industry. And I wanted to know, do you feel like you have some sort of obligation, to the younger generation, especially like Latinas and African Americans, women of color and people of color, as being leaders in this industry, how do you feel you know, do you feel some sort of responsibility to, you know, show the next younger generations, you know, all that you've learned and all the opportunities that you've been given?
Well, I think that's a great question, Connie. And the answer is absolutely yes.
Yes.
We're all responsible, right? Every individual is responsible for doing good and giving back. And that is kind of our lane, because first, I applaud you for being a woman in the financial industry and making it, you know, keep working hard. It's not easy. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time and we got a lot of doors slammed in our face, right? But we didn't give up. We knew that, one, we had a great team. Two, we knew how to manage money. And three, I think we recognized that folks with different backgrounds that, you know, we're not coming to the table with the same-o. We've got, you know, different ideas, different thoughts, different solutions. And now that we've, you know, before, I mean, I can't believe, if you can believe this, Connie, I'm going on 30 years here and Stephanie's 23 years.
It's so impressive.
It just happened overnight. But along the way, we've always made sure that we are educating the next generation, especially people of color and women, because you know what? I mean, let's just be truthful here. This is a lucrative industry, right? And why shouldn't we participate, right? And with that, exactly. You know, it takes guidance. It takes hard work, which I know, heck, you know, where would this world be, Connie, without women, right?
Exactly.
I mean, come on, that's the truth, right? And so we have to do our part. We have to do our part to make sure that they recognize that this is an opportunity for a career path. And it's not easy, right? Because we're up against a lot. But you know what? The reward is worth it. And with that reward, we know that we can then give back. And I'm really proud of our internship program that we have here. You know, we've always thrived ourselves in making sure that we reach out to the community, that we educate them, that we tell them that, yes, you are able to participate, that maybe it takes a little bit more work, but to know that they're not doing it alone. I think even earlier we were talking about, you know, that reaching out to our own families to ask about their stories, right? Because you have to kind of know a little bit about a background so that you can avoid making, you know, those same mistakes or falling in those pit holes, which that's what we're going to do, is we're going to tell the next generation of women, people of color, how to make it to the next level. Don't make the mistakes we did, but keep working. And, you know, again, thank you. You've got me on a soapbox now, Connie.
Thing that I would add to that, I know we're coming up on time, is, you know, we just try to encourage young people to, once you get to a place where you're successful, to give back.
Give back.
You know, always reach back and bring someone else along, because, you know, it's not all about just making money. It's about making sure that there's a pipeline of women, people of color, the next generation being successful in finance.
So, never forget to give back. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling, Connie. Hopefully we'll be guest host and guest in another upcoming.
Yeah, this is great.
It was fun, right? It went by quick. I can't believe our hour's almost up. We talked about a lot of things. You know, wishing you again happy Thanksgiving, Connie. Appreciate
you
calling in. I don't know if you're going to be cooking as well. I don't know if you heard, my stove's not working.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. I am going to be cooking, and I have all my family coming over. So I am in Stephanie's shoes. I'm not calling Luby, but I will be, you know, I will be there in spirit with you, Stephanie, getting everything together.
Well, in case anything falls through the cracks, make sure, you know, you can reach out to Luby's. They'll come to the rescue.
Yes, for sure.
Well, thanks
again,
Connie.
Thank you guys so much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Well, this was a lot of fun, Stephanie. I can't believe we're coming down to probably our last minute. I know we usually, you know, exit with the commercial. So I'm counting on our producer to let me know when to cut me off. Just yank me off, Ms. Producer. But thank you, Ms. Stephanie, for being
thank
on
you.
The call
this
today. I had
fun.
A blast.
I have enjoyed it.
I mean, there was
thank you for,
so
to
much.
All the callers for calling in. It's been great fun.
We've had a lot of fun. And so we're done. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving. And we hope to see you soon.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH 1230 a.m. The Source. On Sand Geek Radio 95.1 FM 1460 a.m. and Aliento Radio 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.